Well, I'm going to read the word of God in Matthew's gospel. Now, we've been reading this chapter a couple of months now, I think, and we're coming to near the end. The main verses I'm going to focus on are verse 51 and 52, but I want to read a few verses from earlier in the chapter as well. I'm going to miss bits out, but there's some bits that I want to read in order to help us as we look into these this final parable. So I'm going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 13 and at verse 10. If you turn with me to verse 10 of Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And then I'm going to jump over a few of the parables that our Lord Jesus told and the explanations that he gave. And if you turn with me to verse 34, I'm going to read a few verses there. "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.' Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.'" And so on. And our Lord Jesus explained to them the parable of the tares of the field. And then he told them some more parables. And then he concluded, and we're going to read in verse 51 and 52. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." And these are the verses that we're going to look at today. Verse 51, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure, or out of his storehouse, things new and old." Have you understood all these things? "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Well, it's an important question for a teacher to ask, and I suppose every good teacher asks a question like that when they've taught something. And they ask their students, "Well, have you understood all these things?" Our Lord Jesus had just had a busy day with his disciples. If we've skipped a few bits of this chapter because it's very long, but if we went right back to the beginning, we would read about our Lord Jesus going and teaching the crowds. And there were so many crowds, so many people, that he had to get in a boat, and they put the boat out. And then our Lord Jesus got in the boat and he taught the multitudes and he told them these parables. And then we read as we go on about, well, we have a whole series of parables. There's seven parables in all. And they're all very new. They're teaching something really astonishing to the disciples. Our Lord Jesus is presenting to them the kingdom of heaven in a way that they had never thought about it before. And you know what it's like when you start on something new. We talk about the learning curve. It's quite hard to get your mind around some things right at the very beginning. Well, our Lord Jesus had spoken to the crowds, and his disciples had opportunity to then carry on the lesson once they got somewhere private. They got away from the crowds. We read about that in verse 36. He sent the multitude away. He went into the house. The disciples came to him, and then they asked the Lord Jesus to explain the parables to them, and they had a number of questions. So it was an intense day for the disciples. I'm sure it was an intense day for our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And having spoken this whole series of parables about the kingdom of heaven, well, he asks them, have you understood all these things? Our Lord Jesus was eager that they would understand. You can ask that question sometimes in an accusing way. I think I remember being in school and the teacher saying, John, do you know what I've just said? And, well, I might have been daydreaming or doodling or something like that, and the question's a bit of a shock, and I didn't understand or know what the teacher had been saying. I don't think our Lord Jesus is asking the question like that. This is someone who's been engaging with his disciples, and they have been engaging with him, and they've been asking questions. And now, really, it's at the conclusion of it all. Is there anything more that I can tell you? Do you need to know any more details? Have you understood all these things? And they say to him, yes, Lord. And he wants them to understand. And he wants them not just to understand so that they know more than everyone else, but it's clear that he then wants them to go on afterwards and teach these things. And that's why he tells this parable of the householder. He gives a picture of a person who's like a steward of a great house, who is in charge of all the things of that great house, and who brings things out that are good for the household, that are good for the family. And he likens them to scribes. Verse 52, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure or out of his storehouse things new and old. So he makes the disciples like scribes. And the scribes of the Old Testament period, the scribes of Israel were, well, I suppose they were teachers. Literally the word means somebody who writes something, but it's very clear from the scripture that go and look at the book of Ezra particularly. Ezra was a scribe, but he was the teacher of Israel. And we have it in the New Testament as well. Jesus found fault with the scribes and the Pharisees, who were meant to be teachers because they didn't really teach the people properly, but he wanted his disciples to be true teachers who were then able to go on and teach the people. So I suppose I would love to sit down with you all and ask you this question. We've been looking at these parables now for a couple of months. Have you understood all these things? I would love to be able to sit down in one of our doctrinal studies after our services and ask you the question and take other questions and explore it all. But anyway, we'll do it, God willing, another time. But that's what our Lord Jesus asked his disciples. Now, of course, there are some lessons in these things. And the first lesson, the first thing that I want to remind you of, I hope it's something you already know, but it's this, that Christianity is a religion of hearing the word of God. Christianity is about hearing and understanding the word of God. It's not primarily a religion about rituals. It's not about festivals or celebrations. If you look at some of the religions of the world, they're so colourful, and I suppose there's something enticing about them, because there's all these festivities that they have ongoing. There's always something coming up, and there's bright colours. And then there's other religions, or most religions, they have very set rituals, and you just follow through the ritual. You pray your certain number of times a day. You do whatever the ritual requires of you, and that makes you, well, that makes you a good Muslim, or that makes you a good Hindu, or that makes you a good Jew. They have lots of rituals that they've built into their form of Judaism, which has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christianity is not. It's not a religion like that. Some people make it a religion like that. Some people think, well, as long as I just, you know, go to church at Christmas and Easter, or as long as I just go through the rituals, I attend church, I wear the right clothes, I sing when I'm meant to sing. If I've done all these things, then, well, that makes me a good Christian. Well, some of these things are very good. Of course, we are meant to go to church and gather with the Lord's people. Of course we are, and to read the scriptures and to sing praises to God. But it's not about the ritual. It's about hearing and understanding the word of God. And that's really, if there's anything that stands out in this chapter, if there's only one thing you're going to take out of all these parables, and I hope you take out far more than one thing, but if there's only one thing, then it's got to be this, that you need to hear and understand the word of God. God uses his word to convert our souls. Psalm 19 tells us that. It's an Old Testament psalm, but it says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The New Testament tells us, Romans chapter 10, it tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Romans chapter 10 goes on, and it says, well, how will they be saved if they don't hear? And how will they hear unless somebody preaches to them? And how will they preach unless they're sent? The great purpose, the great work of this New Testament age is preaching and hearing, not just for the sake of preaching. It's not just for the sake of talking like some people do. It's so that people will understand. And in the New Testament era, if you read on past the Gospels and into the book of Acts and the epistles that follow, then it's interesting that all the believers are called disciples. And a disciple is someone it's like a student. It's someone who's learning, who's gaining understanding. That's how the Bible describes you. If you're in the Christian church, you're a disciple. It's just a normal word for someone who is a Christian, who's going on in the Lord. And of course, the first and the greatest of the parables in this chapter, Matthew chapter 13, was the parable of the sower, the person who was sowing seed. And that parable is all about the spreading and the preaching of the word of God. And in the parable, there was these four different types of soil. That was to do with, I suppose, people's hearts, or how they heard the word of God. And some people, the word of God, they heard it, they understood it, they put it into practice, and they bore fruit. And our Lord Jesus said about that parable in Mark's gospel, have you not understood that parable? How then will you understand all the parables? It's the most important of all the parables. Christianity is a religion. Some people don't like the word religion, but I'm using it in that broad sense, Christianity is a religion of hearing the word of God and understanding it. It is wonderful to see people attending church. But if you only attend church for the sake of attending church, if it's only externals, then it will do you no good at all. If you haven't grown in your understanding, you've got to a certain point and now you think you've got the basics and that's it, it's stopped. Well, you're not worshipping God the way that he desires to be worshipped. He wants his people to be always growing and always going on in understanding, so that their faith is confirmed and nourished and so that they're kept before him. Have you understood all these things? Well, I suppose if I asked you that question about this chapter and maybe about many other passages of scripture that we've looked at, you might say, well, what I've realized is there's so much I don't understand. Well, don't be discouraged. I think we learn in the answer of the disciples, if we put it in the context of the whole of scripture, I think we learn that there are stages in our understanding. So my second point, yes, I've said first one was Christianity is a religion of hearing the word of God and understanding it. But second point is, look, don't be discouraged when you realize that there's so much more that you need to understand. There are stages in understanding. Did the disciples understand? The Lord Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? Did they understand? Well, they said, yes, Lord. And I think we have to accept that. Yes, they'd understood. And there's a number of reasons why we would accept that, just plain and simply, because for one thing, well, they'd asked lots of questions. There was lots of things they didn't understand at the start, and then they asked him the questions and he explained it to them, and he would have explained more to them. They knew that they could ask him questions. They knew that they could find out more, but they felt they didn't need to at that point. They had grasped as much as they were going to be able to grasp right at that time. They'd got the sense of it. They'd basically understood what he was saying. And there's other reasons why we just simply ought to believe and know that they had understood. In verse 11 of the chapter, when they had asked Jesus, why do you speak to the people in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. To you it has been given to know the mysteries. So our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to understand these things. I'm going to make sure that you get this. Others may not. And one of the reasons why his disciples were going to understand was because, well, they had taken the little that they knew. They had accepted Jesus as the Son of God. They knew that God had sent him and that he was a messenger from God. They were, I suppose they grasped that he was the Christ. Simon declared that. And it wasn't one of the things that Jesus went around spreading, but they grasped it. They understood it. He was the one that they had been waiting for. And verse 12, Jesus had said, whoever has to him will be given and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. The disciples, they'd understood who Christ was, and so because of that, he was going to give them more knowledge. Whereas other Jews, they had rejected Christ, and really our Lord was saying, well, because they've rejected me, they're not going to understand anything of what's going on. That's one of the reasons that he spoke to them in parables. Well, maybe you wouldn't even have asked the question, did the disciples understand? Because they say, yes, Lord, and Jesus seems to accept that. I suppose the reason that I'm stressing it is because actually it's fascinating to notice how many fine commentators, and I do think they're fine commentators, but they seem to forget this verse when they comment on other verses. There's other places where the disciples say some things that they find a little bit strange about the kingdom of heaven. Like, for example, after our Lord was raised from the dead and had been seen by the apostles, and Acts chapter 1 tells us that he was with them for many days, 40 days, and he was speaking to them about the kingdom of heaven. So he'd spoken with them about it for years while he was there on earth with them, and then after his death he continued to speak about the kingdom of heaven with them for 40 days. And then just before he ascended, the disciples asked him this question. They said, he told them to wait in Jerusalem and they would receive the power of the Spirit, and they said, but will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Which indicated that they expected some sort of an earthly manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And some commentators, some great commentators, Calvin, for example, when he reads these words of the disciples, he says, there are as many errors in this question as there are words. He's basically saying every single thing about this question is wrong. And he goes on and says it shows how bad scholars they were under so good a master. He's saying right there at the beginning of the Christian era, these disciples had completely misunderstood and didn't have a clue about the kingdom of heaven. Now, I suppose we could look into all this a little bit more, but it's too great an accusation against the disciples. Our Lord Jesus taught them about the kingdom of heaven, and he taught them what the kingdom of heaven was going to be like in this age, this gospel age. That's what these parables are about. And he asked them, have you understood it? And they said, yes, Lord. And they did understand it. At least they understood the substance of it, and Jesus accepted that from them. I think we need to be very careful about accusing the disciples, especially about the very thing of the kingdom of heaven. They said they understood it. Jesus accepted that they understood it. They certainly grasped the substance of it. They were scribes instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. Well, the other reason why we ask, well, did the disciples understand these things, is because, well, there are some indications, and I don't think Acts chapter 1 verse 6, when they ask about the will you restore the kingdom to Israel, is particularly one of them, but there are some places where we realize there's things that Jesus said and the disciples simply didn't understand. I suppose we can see that although they maybe grasped the main points of these parables, they didn't understand all the applications of it. They didn't understand all the nuances of it. For example, we looked at the parable of the treasure and we looked at the parable of the pearl, and I certainly believe these parables speak of the Lord Jesus Christ giving all that he has. It says that in both these parables that the man sells all that he has and he buys the field with the treasure in it, or he buys the pearl. He sells all that he has and he obtains these things. I think the disciples fully understood that that was speaking about Jesus, that he would give all that he had in order to obtain this great prize. And they probably looked at our Lord Jesus and thought, well, he is giving everything. You know, you've seen some people and they're really hard workers and they're just exhausting themselves in a cause. And you say, wow, they're giving everything to this. I'm sure the disciples looked at Jesus and they saw, this man is giving everything to this. Our Lord Jesus was exhausted by the end of his ministry. And he had, one of the prophecies speaks about him essentially in those words, that he had exhausted himself, he had given everything. But the disciples didn't seem to understand that our Lord Jesus would actually give his life. Now, we read back and we think, well, that's obvious. Where would our salvation come from if Christ didn't give his life? What would be the perfect sacrifice for our sins if Christ didn't give his life? But the astonishing thing is the disciples didn't understand that. And I can say that with utter confidence, because we read in the Gospels on three separate occasions how our Lord Jesus took his disciples aside and he told them, we're going to go up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. They're going to abuse him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to scourge him. They're going to crucify him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And three times, at least three times, our Lord Jesus took his disciples aside and he explained this to them, telling them, I'm going to be crucified. And Luke tells us on two of those occasions, Luke records the first and the last of these occasions, and on both, Luke says they didn't understand. Luke chapter 9 and verse 45, when our Lord Jesus explained this to them about his crucifixion, Luke says, but they did not understand this saying. It was hidden from them. They didn't perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about what he was saying. And then we have something similar in Luke chapter 18 and verse 34. Again, our Lord tells them the same thing, something so obvious to us about his death. And it says, and they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. They didn't know the things which were spoken. Now, to us, it really is quite astonishing that they didn't understand that. But it's there in the parables, but it's one of these things that was only really knowable by them or seen by them fully in retrospect. They understood that Jesus was going to give everything to obtain his treasure and give everything to purchase the world and give everything for his church. I think there's things about the church they didn't fully understand, just how composed it would be of Jews and Gentiles with no distinction. I don't know if they fully grasped that, but they got the sense of it. I suppose the other thing they didn't really grasp was the timings of it. Our Lord Jesus was speaking about this sort of spiritual kingdom. It wasn't a great physical manifestation of the kingdom with somebody sitting on a throne and all the nations bowing before him. Our Lord Jesus spoke of a very different kind of kingdom where the word was preached, where there was still going to be hypocrites within the church, where there was still going to be trouble within the church. On one occasion, our Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, when they asked, when will the kingdom of heaven come? And he said, well, it doesn't come by watching. You can't say it's here or it's there. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Or perhaps it should be translated, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. It's here. I think the disciples understood that. They understood that spiritual nature of the kingdom. It wasn't a problem for them that they weren't seeing the final manifestation of the kingdom or the earthly kingly manifestation of it. They understood Jesus' parables. But I don't think they understood just how long it was going to be. I suppose that's indicated by what they said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 before Jesus was ascended. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They seem to think, well, look, we've been following you for 3 years. This kingdom has been in the midst of us. Now, is it going to be really soon and we'll see the full earthly coming of the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, it's not for you to know the times that the Father has set in his own authority. So they didn't understand that there would be 2,000 years of the Christian church. I don't think they understood that at the beginning at all. Well, what's the lesson for us? Well, in introducing this point about stages in understanding, I suppose I want you not to be discouraged. I don't know if you ever read the scriptures and you maybe get a little grasp of what's going on, but you think, I'm confused, I just don't get it all. I don't fully understand this. And Christianity is about understanding. Well, don't be discouraged. There are stages in understanding. Our Lord Jesus accepted his disciples' simple answer, yes, Lord, we've understood. And he didn't rebuke them. And he didn't say, no, you've not properly understood this at all. You haven't got this and you haven't got this. He accepted it. And he knew that having that little that they had, that they would go on and learn more. You know, that's what learning is very often about. We start off our children when they're learning maths or arithmetic with some really basic things. And if you ask them, are you good at maths or do you understand maths? And they'll say, yes, I understand it all. And you think, wow, you have no idea what's ahead of you. This is just going to get more and more and more complicated. But yes, for now, if you can add one and one, and if you can do your takeaways, that's the beginning of it all. And you will move on to greater things. And if you don't get your one plus one, you're going to struggle with everything that's going to come. Well, it's like that. Well, maybe it's a silly example, but it's a bit like that with the gospel. You've got to get the basics. You've got to get the things that are so fundamental. You've got to understand the truths about the kingdom in this age, about the Lord Jesus Christ as King, and that he's given his life for us and that he's coming again to be glorified. You've got to understand these things. And you will certainly think, but there's lots I don't understand. Well, I can tell you that the greatest theologians that have ever lived, the more they've learned, I suppose it's the same with every subject, the more they've thought, there's so much I don't understand. Because the Bible, it's the inspired word of God. It's all interconnected and woven in the most astonishing way. There's no end to all the things that you can learn. You can and you should devote your life to understanding as much as you can understand about the scripture, and you'll still have many things you don't know. And you'll still meet people, some very intelligent people and some very simple people, and they'll tell you something about the gospel that actually you never realized before, because we're not a fount of all knowledge. We're always learning. So don't be discouraged if you haven't absolutely fully understood everything. We're working towards that, and the Lord is helping us. And with each new discovery and with each new thing that you understand, well, praise the Lord. And if you only have a basic knowledge and you only can just, sometimes in our lives, it seems everything's fallen apart and we're confused, and the only thing we can cling to is that the Lord Jesus is Christ and that he's the Savior of this world. If that's it, sometimes if you're reduced to that, well praise the Lord that you know that. Simple, profound sayings like Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Well, if you've grasped that, then you've grasped a lot. So don't be discouraged. Well, let me say something about the parable. I've touched on it, of course, but I want to just go into a little bit of the detail of it. Of course, our Lord Jesus wanted the disciples to understand so that they could go and teach. He calls them scribes, which is teachers. And in the parable, we have this picture of a person who is a steward of a great house. And we read about this sort of thing often in the scriptures. For example, we read about Potiphar and Joseph. Joseph became a slave in Potiphar's house, Genesis. And he impressed Potiphar, so Potiphar put him in charge of everything. He made him the steward of all that he had, and it was Joseph's responsibility to know what belonged to his master Potiphar. Potiphar didn't even know himself, and Joseph was to provide and to organize all these things well. Well, that's the sort of thing that our Lord Jesus is speaking about here. There's a great man, I suppose. The house, if we're to apply all the bits of the parable, the house it's God's house, and it has a householder, which in this case is the scribes, or somebody who is instructed about the kingdom of heaven, a teacher. And this steward is then to take out the things that will be good for the family, good for the household, good for the other servants. And he particularly says, He brings out of his storehouse or out of his treasury things that are new and things that are old. He brings out things new and old. This is important in the whole context of these parables that we've been considering. The new and the old. This set of parables is very much about the new. These are new teachings, and I have kept saying this as we've been studying these parables together, and I sort of don't apologize for keeping on saying it, because I think it's key to understanding these parables and the significance of them, that here was something of the plan of God that was completely hidden. Nobody knew about these things. Verse 35, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So these were the new things, but our Lord Jesus has said to his disciples, so now you've been instructed in these things. Well, you're now fully instructed, and you need to take out the things that are new, as in you need to bring before the household, the church. You need to bring to them the things that are new and the things that are old. There was an advertising campaign quite a number of years ago in the UK. It was a large furniture store. I think the sort of buzz line was throw out your tat, or like throw out all your old furniture, was basically what they were saying. And they showed people just chucking pretty good furniture in the skip. And all down the street, everyone was just throwing all their old but good furniture out of their houses and binning it, because they were saying, you know, get lots of new stuff. Well, it actually didn't go down that well, because, you know, I don't know, possibly if they aired something like that today in the UK, maybe it would go down quite well. I don't know. But, you know, a couple of decades ago when the thing was shown, didn't go down too well, because, you know, there's still a lot of people that were, you know, brought up in a post-war era. They didn't just chuck things out. You wouldn't just throw away good furniture. It didn't quite work, because people knew, well, there's a place for something new. And our old stuff, it's still useful. It still serves a purpose. If you went to, well, I sort of imagine this householder, if there was a great feast, and he would be bringing out, well, the food stores, he would be bringing out, well, the fatted calf that had just been killed, and probably bringing out some old vintage wine as well. And I don't know, did they do old vintage cheese or something like that? But I sort of imagine him bringing out all these old things and bringing out the old candelabra that had been passed down through the generations, and setting it in the middle of the table. And maybe there was new crockery or new cups, but the old and the new, both of them are useful, and both of them were brought out. Well, that's the sort of picture that our Lord Jesus Christ is giving here in this parable about the householder. And he applies it to teaching the truths about the kingdom of heaven. This is particularly the truths about the kingdom of heaven. Every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So what are the new things? Well, I think the whole chapter that precedes and all these parables were teaching the new things, the mysteries, the previously hidden things about the kingdom of heaven, things that Old Testament saints simply didn't know. They didn't know that there would be this gospel age. They didn't know that there would be 2,000 years of the kingdom of heaven, Christ's kingdom, being like this, without Christ visible, with hypocrisy within the church, with all sorts of troubles still going on in the world, and yet it's the age of the kingdom. Christ's kingdom is here. They didn't understand that. They didn't know about the gospel going to the nations in such a way that the nations wouldn't have to proselytize to Judaism, but they would be brought within one great body, Christ's church, Jews and Gentiles made completely equal No distinction. I don't think they understood that. These are the new things, and Jesus certainly said to them, you need to teach these new things and remember these new things. But the emphasis here, I think, is particularly on the old things, because they knew they'd just been taught all this new stuff. And sometimes when you get new stuff, well, you sort of forget about the old stuff or you neglect the old stuff. But when you get something new, that's the very time you need to be remembered about the usefulness of what was old. And what is the old stuff? It's all the previous teachings in the Old Testament about the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of heaven, when our Lord Jesus came and began preaching, when John the Baptist preceded him and came preaching, you know what their message was? They said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that tells us, look, people were expecting the kingdom of heaven. People had been grounded in certain truths about the kingdom of heaven. The Old Testament had told people lots about the kingdom of heaven, about a kingdom that God would give, and they had many expectations about it. They expected, for example, the nation of Israel to be restored to their own land. The nation had gone into exile. They'd had a division, and then the nation went into exile at the time of the Assyrian conquest and then the Babylonian conquest a few centuries before Christ. And you've probably heard people talking about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. You may or may not have. Some people make up all sorts of strange stories about the lost tribes of Israel. There's one, it is a ridiculous theory that they went to Britain and that Britain is really Israel, because the 10 lost tribes went there. But the point is, they're lost. You know, Israel, some of them came back to their land, but they never all came back to their land. There's never been a unity of the people of Israel in the way that the Bible speaks about and prophesied and predicted. It said Israel would be restored to their land, reigned over by their king, who is Christ, dwelling peacefully. It speaks of an age of peace and prosperity. Psalm 67 tells us about if God will bless Israel, Lord, bless and pity us, shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. And then it speaks about God reigning on the earth over all the nations and the earth producing an abundance and there being peace and prosperity. That's the old teachings about the kingdom. And the Old Testament is full of teachings about the kingdom. What was our Lord Jesus saying when he said to his disciples, you're like a householder who brings out the things new and the things that are old? Well, our Lord Jesus was certainly saying, you can't just now neglect all the old promises. You can't throw them out. What the new things that Jesus taught, they weren't, he wasn't teaching them in order to negate, to make nothing the old teachings. Both are true. The earliest commentators of the Christian church, I'm thinking of Irenaeus, who lived in the second century AD and was a great teacher and left many writings to us. When he interpreted this parable, he certainly looked at it like that. He said, well, look, this is like the old covenant and the teachings about the old covenant and the new covenant. And yet there's one God who has given them both. And there's a unity and both are relevant and both are important. Now, there are some people, some churches, and they have, well, I suppose they've taken the view, look, the Old Testament is completely irrelevant now. We've got the new, throw out the old. And there are many Christians, sadly, I'm sure they are true Christians, but they really only ever read the New Testament. And if you talk to them about the Old Testament, they say, oh, I don't really understand it. I don't really like it. Because there's a different tone in the Old Testament. Some people say it's like it talks about a different God. Because we find God in the Old Testament a legislator, and he's very often angry and pouring out his wrath. Well, there's no difference. The New Testament tells us that our God is a consuming fire. We are to take the old and the new. And Reformed churches certainly do that. They certainly take the Old Testament and make much of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we take principles from the whole of Scripture. But it seems to me that the great error that Reformed churches have made is that they've been too quick to negate the Old Testament teachings about the kingdom. It's the very thing that Christ has told his disciples not to do. We've reinterpreted in our Reformed churches. We've gone and reinterpreted all these old prophecies that are actually so clear and were clearly understood by Old Testament saints. And we've reinterpreted them and said that they mean something completely different to the way the Old Testament saints understood them. I think we need to be careful about that. We need to take this parable to heart. If you've learned these truths about the kingdom of heaven, well, look, this is not all that the Bible says about the kingdom of heaven. The Old Testament is full of teachings about it, and we're meant to look into these. And the New Testament, of course, teaches us about the kingdom of heaven in this age. But there is an age to come, and the Old Testament particularly speaks of that age. It is an age when we will see the full physical manifestation of the kingdom. We will see Christ as king, and we will see the nations bowing before him. And all these prophecies and all these promises of the Old Testament, they are yet to be fulfilled, and we do wait for them. And when we say, in this age when the kingdom is here, yet we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, well, we're actually praying for the fullness of the Old Testament promises to be fulfilled. We have the spiritual New Testament age, but we look for a fullness and a final consummation.